I can promise it wasn't me. Oh my. So we have all girls. So I feel at home. Do you know, honestly, like even the dog, oh, two boys. Hey guys. What's up? What grades are you guys in? Sixth grade? Very cool. So that makes you either 12 or 13. Which one is it? Oh my gosh, did I strike that out? That was terrible. What's that? 11. Hey, there. Yay, yay, yay. So, but anyway, I feel at home with girls. Even the dog in my house is a female. So I am outnumbered greatly. And it's basically 6 against 1, counting the dog. But that's okay because I feel at home with all of that. When we were singing, which, again, girls, awesome job, awesome song choices. How long have you been playing the piano? Yeah? Just kind of always, yeah, very cool. Guys, come over here. You can be right here in the second row, just so I can see you guys, because I'm going to do back and forth the whole time. All right, I do believe God gave me something during worship to share with you guys, and it's this. It's in Ephesians 3. Do you guys have your Bibles? Do you guys believe in your Bibles? It's good to have your Bibles. There you go, buddy. You were kicked out the door? You didn't get a chance to grab it? Yeah. So who's the oldest? How old are you guys?
I'm 13.
You're 13? 14. 14? Almost? 12? How old are you, sweetie? 12? All right. Man, guys, you guys are awesome ages. I don't know why I feel led to say this, but I'm going to say it. Do you know how, you know that saying that says beauty's in the eye of the beholder? Right? Your beauty is not determined by the way people see it, the way people determine it. It's determined by the one who holds it. It's determined by the way that God sees it, his definition of it. One of my joys of, and I'm not trying to rule out the two guys here, it's just that there's more girls right now than there are boys. One of the main reasons that I love the idea of having girls as children is there's something very powerful about a young girl early on understanding their identity, understanding their value, and not finding it in all the wrong places. My favorite stories in the Bible have to do with women. Has to do with the woman at the well, the woman that's caught in adultery, and the woman with the alabaster vial. And there's something so beautiful about those stories because for some reason, I don't understand this, for some reason in the Gospels, the woman's sin is on more display than the man's in the Bible, in the Gospels. And I don't understand why, but it makes the story of redemption so much more beautiful and so much more powerful. And a lot of those women are in the situations that they're in because they believed that everything else was the answer but Jesus. And that life taught them that the answer is to find their significance and value in the arms of a man. And I want you guys to know, I don't want you guys to fall for what men try to tell you, what boys try to tell you, that sounds flattering in an effort to get their need met. People are very good at telling you what you need to hear, and it sounds loving and it sounds right, but deep down inside, there's a need that they're trying to get met as well. I don't want you guys to fall for that. I want you guys to understand how loved and how valued you are by God. You do not need the approval of a man. You do not need somebody to come and tell you how beautiful you are. God has already told you that. And I believe that it's possible to walk in such a way. I believe it's possible to, and I'm not saying, you know, that by any stretch of the imagination that God doesn't have somebody that he wants you to be with someday. But I'm going to encourage my girls that when they're walking with God, and I believe that they can do it in such a way that they don't have to turn to the left, they don't have to turn to the right, but I'm going to encourage them to run hard and fast after God. And if they look to the left or the right and they see a man or a boy running just as hard, just as fast, that's the guy that I would encourage them to be with. Don't you sell short and don't you sell cheap because somebody's trying to speak to you in such a way that sounds flattering. Guys, flattery can be a form of deception. Flattery can be a form of manipulation. Sometimes people will say things to you because they know it'll get a reaction from you, and they're saying things to you that you need to hear so that they can get a response from you, but deep down, they're the one who has need. Does that make sense to you guys in any way? You can give a gift. Watch, you can give a gift to somebody, and you didn't give it to the person. You gave it because of how it would make you feel based on their reaction of the gift. Does that make sense? Right? Sometimes we do that to one another. We're doing that because all it reveals is we still don't know who we are, and we're still in need of one another. My encouragement to you guys is what I'm about to read here in a second, which is being rooted and grounded in the love of Christ. The challenge is a lot of us are rooted and grounded in everything else but his love. A lot of us are rooted and grounded in our experiences. A lot of us are rooted and grounded in how people have treated us. A lot of us are rooted and grounded in how life is going. And I want you guys to know that everything in life has a voice. How you're treated in life, the way things are going, what you see with your eyes, it all has a voice. But I want you guys to know the right voice. Believe and trust the right voice. Because I believe you guys can walk in such a way, you can guard your purity, you can guard the gift that God has given you, so that on the most important day of your life, you can give away to whoever it is that God gives to you the most precious gift that he's ever given to you. I hope this isn't like too heavy to talk to you guys about, but I believe that you guys can walk in such a way to know your identity, know the love of God, and not be in need of anything else or anyone else to determine who you are. Beauty is not in the eyes of the beholder. Beauty is not in the opinion of man. Beauty is not in the world's definition of it, and how you ought to dress and how you ought to look. Beauty is defined in the way that I was telling these young kids about that story with the Wemmix and the you are special. And beauty is in the fact that God has said you are beautiful. And God doesn't make mistakes. And you can walk away and you can hear me say all this stuff and you can walk away and say, yeah, whatever, buddy, but it's the truth. And if you give your heart to that, you give your yes to that, I guarantee it'll become the eyes you see yourself through. Because this is what Satan wants more than anything else. He wants you to see how you're being treated. He wants you to see what's happening so that he can then cause you to see yourself that way. Because faith is a powerful thing, guys. Faith is a conviction. It means to be utterly convinced. If you take an anorexic girl and stick her in front of the mirror, what does she see looking back at her in the mirror? She still sees an overweight girl, doesn't she? Why? Because she believes that about herself. It's not there, but it's a conviction not seen. You can look at yourself in the mirror and see how people treat you and see what's not there. Or you can look at yourself in the mirror and see the one that God said I loved and paid the ultimate price for. Because you don't, guys, the clothes you're wearing are determined by what? The value of what you wear, the value of what you have is determined by what? By the price you pay for it, right? I wear the things I wear, I do the things I do, I own the things I own because I thought the price was worth paying for. And for so many years, I wasted years of my life because I thought whatever it was that rejected me was the thing that I needed in life. I thought whatever it was that rejected me was the answer. And my whole life, it's like I walked around with this sign like on my head that said, reject me, reject me, reject me. I had friends leave me. I had family abandon me. And I began to crave the very thing that I was being rejected by. And people can never be your answer. We have to be very careful that we don't treat people. Well, I wasn't going to go there. Maybe I should. Can you guys do this? If you guys have your Bibles, turn to John 4. This is what I was going to preach on tonight, but I'm going to share it with you girls because I think it's powerful and it's important. One of the greatest mistakes we make, guys, is we place expectations on people. And we're expecting them to do a certain thing, be a certain way, and say the certain thing. And then when they don't come through, now we have a reason to be hurt and angry and bitter and frustrated. And we were never created for that. We were never created to place expectation. We were never created to find ourselves in people clapping for us. We were never created to find ourselves in, are they saying the right things? Because when they are saying the right things, then you feel good. But then if they're not, now you feel terrible. And you ride this roller coaster called life, and you can never have peace. You can never have joy. You can never have identity. You can't know who you are living for that kind of stuff. And I'm speaking out of personal experience. I wanted everybody to, because life taught me not to like myself. Because if you rejected me, then that must mean there's something displeasing. And if you don't like me, then how could I like the very thing you don't like? And so then we try to better ourselves, and we try harder, and we try harder, and we try harder, only to see that that doesn't work. It says about Jesus in John chapter 2 that when he was on the earth, he didn't entrust himself to people. He didn't find himself in people because he knew it was inside of people. He knew that it was possible for people to cheer for him and clap for him and say, you're the best thing that ever happened. Hosanna in the highest. And then the next moment, cry out, crucify him. Because people can be fickle. People can change their mind about you just like that. And people do what they do because they're either in need of something and they're trying to find their self through other things. But I believe that that can be settled. I believe you guys can draw a line in the sand and you can know who you are and you can know your value and know the love of God. Listen, guys, when we were in the garden, We were created in the image of God, which is love, based on 1 John 4. And the moment man sinned and became cut off from love, we went and looked to try to find love in all the wrong places. When Jesus said that he came to seek and save that which was lost, that means now that he's found, he came to seek and save that which was lost so we can stop looking for what it is that he found. We lost who we were. We lost our identity. We lost love. We lost everything, and he came and reclaimed all of that. It's not a mystery anymore. God's heart to us has been revealed. We don't have to wake up, guys. We do not have to wake up in the morning and wonder today if we're loved. You can know that you're loved. The cross is the evidence that God loves you, and he is never changing his mind about that. Even though that's happened 2,000 years ago, it's still true. He's never changing his mind. The Bible says, in this is love. It's okay, honey, if your phone's vibrating. It's all right. In this is love. Not that you loved him, but that he first loved you. Until that issue is settled in our heart, we're going to continue to find what it is that he freely gives. The problem is, if we treat people like this woman did in this story, we treat people, do you physically need water to live? Right? You do. But a lot of us are treating people like a source of water, and then when that well runs dry, we move on to the next one. And when that well runs out, then we're bitter and angry and frustrated because they don't meet our need anymore. It doesn't matter how many people you go to, it'll never be enough. And the fact that we have to keep doing the same things over and over and over again reveals that it's not the answer. It doesn't matter how many people you date. It doesn't matter how many people think you're the best. It doesn't matter how many Facebook friends you have. It'll never be enough. It will never satisfy that, because the Bible says that all things were created by him and for him. That means within each and every person, there's a God-responding mechanism. There's something inside each and every person that longs to be back in Eden, that longs to be home. And Jesus came to make that way available to us, that we might know that way. I'm telling you, when the light comes on, because the Bible says, in him is the life, and the life was the light of men. That means that apart from Jesus, life is an experiment. We're trying to find who we are. But when you so see the light of God, when you so see who Jesus is, then you know who you are to him and who he is, and you don't have to keep looking anymore. He wants the light to come on inside of us, guys, in a greater way. So I'm going to read this story to you. If you have John chapter 4 open, here we go. We're going to do this, and I promise you this is all going to make sense. Jesus says, therefore, or actually, John says it, therefore, I'm just going to look at the time, 11:35, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself was not baptizing, but his disciples were. He left Judea and went away again into Galilee. He had to pass through Samaria. And he came to a city of Samaria called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, so Jesus, being wearied from his journey, was sitting thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. Now you have to understand something. This story has nothing to do with water. It has nothing to do with the chemical makeup of H2O. It has everything to do, guys, with where we draw our significance and our value from. Jesus is using natural means, natural illustrations, to drive home a spiritual point. This woman, it comes to this well over and over and over again because she needs water to live. If you don't drink water, you're toast. You're not going to make it very long. Your body needs sleep, you need food, you need water, naturally speaking. So this woman is coming to do what she does all the time. It just so happens that Jesus is here. This is how personal God is. He will camp by a well just to get to you. Because you're not a throwaway, and you're not the product of how people have treated you, and you're not the product of what people have said about you. You are the product of what God says about you. And when you give your yes to that, when you unite that with faith, see, we've put faith in all the wrong places. We've released faith in how it's going and what people have said. And it becomes the eyes then that you see yourself through. It becomes a conviction in our heart. When I was talking about being rooted and grounded in the love of Jesus, this is what happens a lot of times. Because we're not rooted and grounded in the love of God, we're rooted and grounded in other things. We're rooted and grounded in neglect, abandonment, divorce, rejection, all these things that then those roots form the trunk of a tree. Do you guys understand how trees work? Goes from the roots, then a trunk, then it turns into branches, and then there's fruit that hang on the branches typically if it's a fruit tree, right? So now the trunk of the tree would look something like this. If you're rooted and grounded in things other than the love of God, all that stuff that you're rooted and grounded in has a voice. So my parents divorced when I was 8 years old. That had a voice. My friends left me when I was in seventh grade. That had a voice. All these people, the way that they would say things, the way that they would do things, it would all have a voice and it would communicate, see, nobody cares. Nobody loves you. Everybody's going to leave you, and you need people. And your performance stinks. They're rejecting what you're doing, so you need to up your game. You need to try harder. And then what happens? Then because you believe that stuff, it produces the wrong kind of fruit. The reason, guys, why people do what they do, everything in life that people do, everything that they're caught up in reveals what they're looking for. They're looking for him. They just don't know. That's what makes, this is what I'm going to talk about tonight. That's what makes the woman's story with the alabaster vial so precious, guys. It was so much more than just her coming and pouring out perfume on his feet as an act of worship. It was so much more than that. It was everything she was before she found him. We're all of us, guys, are looking for the same thing. And when you find him, see, he's looking for you, but you're looking for him. It's interesting. And when those two searches meet and they come to an end, that's when something beautiful happens. But until that time, you'll use everything else, including people, and you weren't created to use people. You were created to love people, not be in need of them. I do not need you guys to treat me a certain way. But I'm on the planet to love you. And I've come to understand, guys, honestly, if people were walking in the love of God, if they truly understood the love of God and were filled with the Holy Spirit, they would not do what they do. They would never say the things they say. They would never do the things that they do. And because of that, my battle is not with you guys. My battle's not with flesh and blood. My battle is with the things that people don't understand, the things that they can't see. Guys, people are hurt, lost, and broken. And I was one of those people for a very long time. And when you do not know Jesus, everything else becomes the answer. That's why I was driven to use drugs. That's why I was driven to use different things. I was driven to use people to be in need of approval. I was driven to even use food like as a source of comfort. You'll use whatever in an effort to find yourself. But here's what I found. It's never enough. You got to do it again and again and again. In the same way that this woman had to come and constantly draw water physically from the same well. But Jesus is about to show her. It has nothing to do with you coming and drawing water. There's a greater thing going on. You have been with five husbands and the man you're now with isn't even your husband. You've been with six men. You know what's awesome about that? He never holds that against her. Jesus knows every intimate detail about this woman's life. And you know why he doesn't use it against her? Because he knows why she's doing what she's doing. He knows she's looking for him. Her whole life has been a search to find love. Because the moment, have you guys ever been on vacation and you have that longing to be home? Do you know what I'm talking about? You're just like, man, I just want to come home, right? You can't wait to get on vacation, but then you're like, man, I just want to get back home. When God removed Adam and Eve from the garden, it from that point forward created a desire to come home inside each and every one of us. It created a desire to come back to Eden. It created a desire to walk again in the cool of the day with the Father. Jesus knows why she's doing what she's doing. Because love covers a multitude of sin. For so long, we look at each other and we judge each other based on outward action. But you can't know somebody's motive. Inside, they're hurt, lost, and broken, and they're literally trying to satisfy and find what God freely gives to them. So they start having this conversation, right? And Jesus says this to her. He says, give me a drink. And this is what this woman says. It says, for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. So he is alone, guys, with this woman. The Son of God. See, like, it's got to be more than just a story. This really happened. God in the flesh is taking his time with a woman who thinks that men are the answer. And it doesn't, guys, hear me. I know you two guys are sitting back there. It doesn't have to be women thinking men are the answer. We men can think girls are the answer. We can think anything in life is the answer. It just so happens that this story captures the essence of what it is that's going on. Therefore, the Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, now this is cultural stuff that's going on. I'm not going to go into all this stuff. Ask me for a drink, since I'm a Samaritan woman, for Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God, that's the key. That's what's on the table right now. If you knew the gift of God. Now, she thinks he's talking about water. Now he just flipped the script and he's talking about something completely different. He drew her in. He knew what was going to grab her. Now watch this. It's so beautiful. If you knew the gift of God and who it is, if you knew who it is, who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. She said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get this living water? You are not greater than our father Jacob, are you, who gave us the well and drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks this water will thirst again. Everyone who drinks this water will thirst again." He's not talking about the water in the well. He's talking about the activity of her life. The more you keep doing this, the thirstier you're going to be. It will never satisfy. It won't be 6. It'll be 7 one day. It'll be 8. It'll be 9. And on and on and on the list will go. And he's not holding it against her. God said to me one day, he said, if anything less than Jesus is the answer, it will always be the problem. It will always be the problem. Because you think you know who you are when you have it, but when it's not there, now you're scrambling and now you're freaked out and now you don't know what to do. Whether it's the approval of people or it doesn't matter. It can be anything. Here's the deal. If you knew the gift of God, well, what's the gift of God? There's a bunch of things that the Bible calls the gift of God. They call the Holy Spirit the gift of God. They call eternal life the gift of God. Jesus knows that inside this woman is dead, and that's why she's doing what it is that she's doing. She's lost. She doesn't. She can't see. She's blind. Satan is an opportunist, guys. He waits for things to happen in your life, and he comes alongside of you, and he begins to whisper to you in an effort to get you to see what's happening. Because sometimes what you see is the ears that you hear with. I know that sounds strange. Do you guys know that turkeys can hear with their eyes? It's weird. Turkey fact for you. But when you go through certain things and you're seeing certain things with your eyes, those things have a voice. And Satan comes alongside of you in those times where people have wounded you, rejected you, and hurt you. And he says, see, it's always going to be that way. It's always going to be like this. Nobody cares. You're always going to be alone. Nobody loves you. And the more we hear that, sometimes the more we begin to eat of that tree. And it becomes the way that we see things. Everything in life has a voice. This is what Jesus said. He said, if you continue in my word, not yesterday, not your experiences, not in the words of other people, if you continue in my word, then you're disciples of mine. What's the implication? You can continue in other things and be the disciple of other things. You can be the disciple of your own experience. You can be the disciple of your broken home. You can be the disciple of the rejection of your friends. Continue in that word and go right back into bondage, go right back into slavery. But Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you'll know the truth and it will make you free. And his word to everybody in this place is, I love you. And all he's waiting for us to do is unite it with faith and say, I want that. That's all God needs from us, guys. And the gift of God that he wants to give to you, he wants to put inside of you a well springing up to eternal life. Why? So you can come and drink from that place inside of yourself that he's going to take up residence and you can have a relationship with him and know him in an intimate way rather than trying to find yourselves in all the other different places. Because this is what he says. I find this fascinating. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water," right? Now, again, she's thinking, well, I don't want to keep coming back to this well. I don't want to have to keep drawing water. Give me something to drink so I don't have to come here anymore. She still doesn't get it yet. He said to her, go call. She says, so I will not be thirsty anymore, nor come all the way here to draw. He said to her, go call your husband and come here. Because he's revealing to her where it is that she's drawing her attention, her identity from. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you have correctly said, I have no husband, for you have had 5, and the one you are now with is not your husband. This you have said truly. Now watch this. Because she said, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Is she talking about the water inside the well being deep? No, she's not. Because if the water in the well was deep, Jesus would all he would have to do is reach his hand down in there and just lap up some water, right? She is saying the distance from where the well begins to where the water resides, that's deep. The water is actually very shallow because she has had to come and draw from that place over and over and over again. Whatever it is that you are going to as the answer outside of Jesus, it's another scoop, bucketful, handful, cup full of water out of your soul, and the shallower you feel inside, and the deeper the chasm is within you. And Jesus is saying, if you knew the gift of God, you would ask me for a drink. So you can know the gift of God. He wants to be alive inside of you. He doesn't want you second guessing. He doesn't want you wondering. The other day I just heard this. I was praying and I just heard this phrase in my heart, and it was this: I don't want to drink from any other well. If you're drinking from any other well other than Jesus, you will bleed that well dry. This is the reason, guys, why relationships end. This is the reason why marriages fail. It's because we think that people are the answer. And then when they're not meeting the need, we treat them like a whatever. We ring them out, we just leave them, and we just go on to the next person. Please do not treat people and do not treat anything in life like a well, that when the water runs out, now you have to go looking for a new watering source. Because you need water to live, physically and spiritually. And God wants to place within you a well springing up to eternal life. God wants to take every lie that you believe and completely turn the script on it. He wants to make it a 180. He wants you to see your value. Guys, he valued this woman. That's why he's taking the time with her. He knew that she was a lost daughter. This is a father and daughter moment. This is what I would do with every single one of my children if that was one of my girls. There is nothing my girls can't do that would cause me to love them more or to love them less. They are loved, period. But it would grieve my heart. It would grieve my heart if I took their head in my hands and said, I loved you, and then they went and lived as if that wasn't true. And they went to find everywhere else what daddy spoke to them. But it wouldn't change my... This is how God lives every single day. This is how God the Father lives every single day with every one of his children that are on the run because they can't trust him because look what these people have done. And if you were real, then why did you let this happen? Well, people do what they do because of what they fail to understand. I never would have used drugs the way that I did if I knew then what I do now. Every drug was in an effort. Every drug was another cup full of water. Every drug was another well, and I had to keep upping the ante because it was never enough. Until one day, and God loves us so much that he will wait for us to get to the end of our rope. He'll wait for us to blow our inheritance called life. And sometimes he seeks and saves the lost, not by running after them, but by watching and waiting. And he'll stand like the father with the younger brother and the prodigal son, and he'll wait for us to come home. And God is saying this. He's saying, you can know me. I have made myself available to you. I've revealed myself through my son and now through the Holy Spirit in you. You do not need to go draw who you are and your significance from anywhere else. You can know the love of God right now. Girls, you are precious in his sight. I mean that. You are loved by your Father. And I think it's amazing that we have the honor and the privilege to call him our Father. He's your dad. And what he says is true. You're not the product of how people have treated you and what they've said about you. You're the product of how he's treated you and what he has said about you. And he's never changing his mind. The value of your life is determined by the price he paid for it. Guys, he came to die so that we could live. This is the gift of God. And all you have to do, the Bible says, is to all who have received him, even those who have believed in his name, he's given them the right to become the children of God. You probably didn't hear me say this last night. Some of you weren't here. A lot of us know what it's like to receive gifts on Christmas. Gosh, it's the holiday season already. I think Christmas songs are already on the radio. So I've heard some as early as October. It's crazy. Christmas is fun. My oldest daughter loves it. She loves hearing Christmas songs and everything else. But if I were to buy each and every one of you just that one piece of clothing that you loved, you're just like, man, this is what I want. This is beautiful. I want this jacket. I want this sweater. I want this hoodie, whatever it is. And I buy it for you, and I wrap it up, and I give it to you, and you open it. And you're like, man, this is awesome. Like, this is what I wanted. I'm going to look so awesome in this. And you never put it on, and all you did was hang it on a hanger and go hang it in your closet. You never received the benefit from the gift. You received it. You saw the joy over opening it, but you never put it on. And there's so many people that have opened the gift called the love of God, called the gift of eternal life, called the gift of righteousness, called the gift of their identity, whatever you want to call it, the gift of redemption, but they're not walking around with it on because they're wearing everything else. They're walking around with the wrong clothing. They're walking around with how people have treated them. And God is saying, guys, take that off. You are not his rejected ones. You are not the forgotten ones. You are his loved ones. Don't look to people they can't satisfy because they're trying to find it in you. When people don't know who they are, they use each other. That's why God could have compassion on people. He knew why they were doing what they were doing. That's why I can have compassion on you, because I understand why people do what they do, because I lived like that. When you're lost, you're seeking and trying to find all things. And he knew that. He knew that he had to come and show you the way home. And this is what he said, you would ask me. So this has nothing to do with me up here. This has everything to do with you asking him for the gift of God. And I'll put within you a well springing up to eternal life so that you never have to go and drink from anywhere else. You don't have to drink from any other well, guys. This is what I wanted to read earlier and I didn't get to, and I know I have time. It's 11:53. I'm going to read to you guys Ephesians 3 really quick. And then we're going to pray. And you guys have done a great job listening to me. It says in verse 14, do you guys drink coffee? It's amazing, isn't it, honey? It's one of God's greatest gifts. It's the key to all parenting. It helps me stay awake. Because I don't sleep well when I'm away from home. At least the first night I don't. It says in verse 14 in Ephesians 3, watch this, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father. Now you need to understand something. The guy that's writing this, Paul, he has never used this language anywhere else in any of the other letters he's ever written. So this must be a big deal that his knees are hitting the floor praying for each and every believer on the planet right now. And he's writing to the Ephesians, but this is a prayer that we can apply. He's writing to believers, so you can take this, grab it as your own. He's praying for you right now. He's saying, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father. Now we're about to find out why. From whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his spirit in the inner man. So that power to believe, that power to just live this Christian life, that power that we need to even keep going comes through what's inside of you, through the inner man, through the power of his Holy Spirit. It says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Guys, there are going to be times where moments in life where you don't feel very loved. But you're not called to live by what you feel. You're not even called to live by what you see. It says the just will live by faith. You have to, even in the absence of what you think is love, when stuff is going on and it seems chaotic and it seems dark and people are saying this and people are doing that, you have to sanctify in your heart. You have to set aside and guard in faith and say in faith that God loves me. He has settled that thousands of years ago. He is not changing his mind, and I do not need to find it anywhere else. He satisfies all things, since all things come by him and from him and through him. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, not a feeling, through faith. I know that I know that I know I am loved because God came. And the Holy Spirit is revealing that to me every single day, more and more and more. The Holy Spirit loves Jesus more than anything else. The Holy Spirit wants to teach you about Jesus. The Holy Spirit wants to remind you of things that God has said to you. The Holy Spirit wants to reveal to you things that are to come. The Holy Spirit wants to lead you and guide you into all truth. Truth makes you free, guys. Truth is your best friend. Truth is what you want, and truth came in a person. And he said, I'm the way. Not just the way to heaven, guys. He's the way to think, the way to be, the way to do. He's the way, and he never took life personal. He never took you and I personal. He never treated us like a dirty dish rag and said, oh, now you want me, and rang us out and threw us away. He never waited for you to get your act together. He never waited for you to say, I'm sorry. He came to you and said, I forgive you. He came to you and said, I love you, when you didn't even want him. When you were in your worst, he was at his best. Because sin doesn't cause him to wrinkle his brow and furrow his brow and cross his arm. It makes him withdraw on his grace. But we don't sin, so grace may increase. Grace is the answer to sin, not the empowerment to sin. When you see his love, you don't want to live for anything else. When you know him and the gift of God changes everything. And it's a free gift, and all it requires is for you to say thank you. And to the best of my ability, God, I put that on, and you're strengthening me. I couldn't even save myself. Your grace is making this my reality. Your faith unlocks his grace, and his grace comes and makes whatever you're releasing faith in the eye you begin to see through, because you're saved by grace through faith. Your ability to say yes and your ability to say I believe releases grace, and it comes and it makes it your reality. We can do nothing apart from him, guys. He's the one who even empowers you to believe. But all you have to do is say yes. I'm telling you, all you have to do is say yes to him. Give him your desire. I'm really butchering this. I need to keep going. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, that's pretty personal, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend, to understand, to get it, to know, with all the saints, what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. So knowing his love is what causes you to be filled up with the fullness of God. I don't even know what that even means. I just know it's pretty awesome. Paul is hitting his knees and praying that you would come to understand how much that God loves you. And that translates like this: a house to be filled up with the fullness of God is like a house with no empty rooms. It means every single room in your heart, every single room within you is completely filled with the knowledge of his love. And when that takes place, when that happens, you're not going everywhere else looking. You're not going to all these other places, all these other wells. It's satisfied because the well in you that he's placed within you springs up as a well to eternal life. It's the gift of God. I told the young ones in here, he doesn't want to do heaven without you. You're in the family portrait. He wants you there. This is amazing to me. The streets of gold aren't enough for him. The worship of the angels aren't enough for him. The sea of glass isn't enough for him. The walls covered in all those precious stones in heaven aren't enough for him. He still wants you there. He loves you, but he loves when you love him back. He's a God with feeling. He feels. He has emotion. And it's his great pleasure to love you, but it's our great pleasure to love him back with the love that he gives to us. And all you have to do is say yes. We have to wrap up our time. I'm going to pray and just trust that God, I don't even know everything that I said. I'm just trusting and hoping and believing that it makes sense to you. All you have to do is ask. All you have to do is seek, and all you have to do is knock. My whole life was asking, seeking, and knocking, but in the wrong places, on the wrong doors, and all the wrong things answered. But in him is the life, guys, and the life is the light of men. In him is life. In him is the only thing that satisfies. Continue your worship, girls. The greater we understand who he is, the more your worship is going to soar. We've given our time to so many other things, guys. If we start giving our time to seeking, I guarantee you, you will find him. We were talking with the younger kids about hide and seek. You find what you seek. When you play that game, I love that game. You're looking for the people that are hiding. But you can only find what it is you seek. And for some reason, God loves it when you chase him. God loves it when you hunger for him. God loves it when you seek him, and you will find him. And I don't know how he does it, but when I get alone and pray with him, the one who fills all, somehow he's it's almost as if he puts all that he is in that room when he's with. It's so crazy how it works. He says, he'll never leave you or forsake you. He's in you. If you've given yourself to him, he's in you. And now it's time to fellowship with that reality and say, God, I want to know you in a greater way. That's eternal life. Not you praying a prayer to get to heaven. Eternal life is knowing God. It's growing in a revelation and understanding of who he is. That amazes me that the God of the universe, who knows the hairs on your head by number, who calls the stars by name, who holds the waters of the earth in his hand, knows every single pebble of sand on the shore by number, decided to come and make his home inside of you. That's a pretty powerful God. But you're a house fit for a king. And he wants to take up residence in your life, and he wants you to grow in fellowship with him. So, Father, I just ask and pray right now, Lord, to the best of just their own ability, God, but I pray by your grace that you would make these words, Father,